Domati, I am so sorry. I hate when I
oh,
say the
no.
wrong name.
How often does that happen, Wendy?
Frank Fontana's in. I should have said Fred Fontana's here today.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
I'm great. Thanks, Steve.
Your voice isn't cracking enough.
No, I
know. Bill, I almost called him Frank. Bill will be back tomorrow.
Was he gone since my last visit with you?
No, he came back for a day and then he had to, you know, had to take a break again.
That's a lot of work.
And I'm off all next week going to L.A. You just got back from L.A.
I did. The good old L.A.
We're not really going there. We're going to Anaheim. We're going to Disneyland.
It's not L.A. No, L.A. L.A. We
do
were,
you like L.A.?
I do. I'm not going to lie. I lived there for 10 years.
You look like you would belong in L.A.
I did belong in L.A.
You're pretty.
Oh,
you're in shape. You're tan.
It's part of it. The other is the mentality.
I don't have that mentality.
Yeah. I like a little bit more chill. You know, There is no chill. No.
And traffic, I think we're going to go to Universal Studios, which I found out it's like almost a two-hour ride from Anaheim.
Yes.
I don't want to go on vacation to drive for 2 hours.
But do you want to go stay at a resort hotel?
We're not staying at a resort hotel.
Right. So there's your options. I mean, you stay there with masses and the cattle. And then.
Well, we're staying in Anaheim, but not on Disney property.
Yeah. It's a whole other world. I mean, Southern California, it's different.
Is that what Anaheim is? I have no idea.
Kind of, but I'm talking more like L.A. proper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was cool. I mean, we were down there for some meetings, met with some big entertainment industry, you know, record labels and for my other side of my company. Great stuff happening. But, you know, what's interesting here is, you know, I take Ubers all the time.
Do you take them here?
I take them here, and I take them there, and the difference in the Uber drivers is fun. Like, everyone out there, whether you're a Starbucks worker or waiter or somebody, you're trying to be in the entertainment industry.
Or struggling actor.
Struggling actor, and I was there too. Or you're a retired actor or entertainment professional. So we buzzed around in a couple. I took about 10 Ubers while I was there, and everyone was different. Now I'm noticing in their profiles, when you order the Uber, it gives you a description of the personality of the driver. So we had like Joe, who likes to talk. He likes to talk about sports. He's a good conversationist.
Really?
And I'm not that kind of guy in the car. Like, there's an occasion where somebody strikes me and I'll have, you know, an Uber driver will be interesting. Other times I'm working, I'm busy, or I just want to zone out. How do you feel like when you're in an Uber?
All right. If Bill were here, he would answer this question. I hate dead air. Yeah. So, like, if I'm in a cab, I interview the person, I get to know them, find out about their family, where do they live, how long have they been driving. And when I went to L.A. About 3 years ago, I took Uber for the first time, and I thought it was amazing. First of all, you could get a ride from the Santa Monica Pier to LAX for, like, $15.
It was pretty close.
It's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
A cab would have probably been $50.
Easily.
But then I find myself interviewing the person, like, oh, hi, my name's Wendy, I'm from Chicago. They don't even ask. I just offer the information. And then it's like, what do you, how long have you been driving with Uber? What do you do during the day? There was one mom who did it while her kids were at school. And I'm like, what a great idea. Of course, there was an actor who was looking, and in between auditions, he would just drive an Uber.
Did they make decent money?
Yeah, I think so. To supplement the income, sure. I don't think that you... Well, you probably could do it
for
a full-time
job. Didn't one of the NBC
job.
Guys here in Chicago, was it Anthony Ponce?
One of the Ponces did that.
He did his own, like, Uber show, and it got him onto, I think, a viral network, and he's making something of it, so... Maybe there's something in it for us, Wendy.
Okay, but listen to me, Frank. Don't you want to know don't you want a little background of the person? Because my husband, well, he is silent. He does not want to talk to anybody. Boy, does he roll my eyes when I start my interview process. So if he could see this driver does not like to communicate with clients, Jim would pick that person just for that reason.
Or if it was a Star Wars geek, and they would get along really well.
Yeah, that's what he would talk about.
Yeah. So, like, I would imagine would you put that in your profile? Would you put your personal likes in the profile if you were an Uber driver?
Well, you know me.
Wendy, who likes to interview you.
You know me. I would. Yeah. I am an open book.
Yeah.
Talks too much. No dead air. No downtime. Be prepared to conversate with this person.
Yeah, I think next level Uber is being able to select your driver based on the personality. That would be a nice little matchup.
But don't you like to know about the person before you get in their car?
Well, I'm assuming he's pre-qualified through Uber. So, yes and no. Like I said, I don't like... I got to feel somebody's vibe. So, if I'm in the car And I feel like, because some people are all business. I mean, I've had a lot of Uber drivers that don't even look in the rearview mirror. They're you know, mission oriented, get out, get in.
And they don't even have to ask you where you're going because it's all pre-done on the app.
No. I would say Uber's got to fix their maps, though. I hate when we're standing in a location and you're there for like 15 minutes. You're like, where are you? I always got to call the Uber guy.
Right, because they're on the other side of the street or something and you can't figure it out. Yeah, that's not a good way of doing it.
But, you know, it's the now. It's the future. It's the now.
I don't know why I don't Uber here. I still take a cab if I have to take any other transportation.
How much traffic did you hit today?
I figured it out, Frank. You know, there was low traffic last week because of the holiday. Everybody was taking time off. And I'm wondering why traffic was so bad. I thought it's summer. Usually kids are out of school. Yeah. There's no traffic. Taste of Chicago, my friend.
I hit an hour and 15 to get in from our little town.
What time did you leave?
I left at 8.
Really?
I got here at 9:30. No, actually, an hour and a half. 9:30.
Yeah, it's Taste of Chicago. And
damn, Taste of Chicago.
That's been going on for many years. No, I think it's a great idea. And if I was visiting in Chicago at this time of year, I would definitely go. And if I lived in the city, I'd probably go.
It's been years. It's been years since I went. But, you know.
Great music, great food. It's been a little warm. I would like it if it's a cool day. But I'm not complaining. I'm not one of the persons that is going to say, you know, oh, it's freezing in the winter and now it's too hot. I just would like a gradual change. We went from having the furnace going to the air's been on for 3 weeks.
Sure. You know what that's called? Living in L.A.
In L.A., it's like that, too?
70-something. It gets hot and then it levels out at like 70-something on the average. Your winters are like 60.
All right, so that's the opposite of us, is what you're saying.
Completely. Just for that reason alone, I would like to live there.
I don't see you living in Chicago. I'm surprised you're here. You seem totally like an L.A. person.
You know what happens is you get family, you fall in love, you build a life here, and then, you know, you got to make those decisions. Whether, but, you know, I love Chicago. Trust me. I will. I don't think I'd fully ever leave. I have too much business here and too much friends and family. I'd have to have some presence here. And plus my show on WGN Radio on Sundays from 1 to 3.
When the White Sox aren't playing.
When the White Sox aren't playing.
How many shows have you had recently? Aren't you back in action?
I'm back on the 22nd. July 22nd, the show kicks back off. And so lately, no. I've been hanging out with you and you know, popping in here and there, filling in for folks, and just buying some time till I'm back.
How do you like the new studios? Is this the first time you've been in this particular studio?
This studio, yeah. We broadcast from the front of the building. It's great. You know, I do miss the Tribune Tower. I'm not going to lie. I do miss that.
We all do.
The ground floor and, you know.
And the history.
The history, the vibe. But, you know, I think there's always great opportunities with fresh new spaces to do things different and, you know, have some fun. But it's great. I mean, I'm looking at you, but at.
Like, I have a nice backdrop, don't I?
Hey, now, you got a nice backdrop. Sorry, Jim. Oh, by the way, did you ever Google yourself?
Yes.
I put in, because I was looking for a picture of you and I to post on Instagram, and I found one from last week, but under when I Googled Wendy Snyder, Frank Fontana, it said Wendy Snyder's husband in the Google search.
Really?
Is this a thing? Are people trying to find your husband and what he looks like?
Probably. I mean, you know, he has his start. He interviewed somebody on his Rebel Force Radio, which plays on WGN Plus, and Rebel Force Radio. You can get it there. I can't remember who it is. The backup quarterback for, God, I don't remember, but I know I tell a story very well, don't I?
Yeah, just leave out a couple of things.
He's a professional NFL player, and he loves Star Wars and was listening to Rebel Force Radio and contacted Jim and wanted to be interviewed. So
that's awesome.
I don't remember who it is. I'll try to find out who that is.
That doesn't freak you out, though? Are people like searching for your personal business?
No, that's what the internet is now. Yeah. I mean, I've been on the air for 32 years here in Chicago, and it was pretty great to not be identified because there was no Facebook, there was no live streaming, which I don't like anyway.
Do you think it changes the allure of radio? Because radio is the theater of the mind, and now you're getting to put all the pieces of the puzzle. I know it's trend of what's happening with social, but you think for our genre of radio, there was that, you know, that little bit of the theater curtain that, you know, allowed you to be a bigger personality? in a way?
I think it helps because just being a radio listener, you always have a misconception of what your favorite personality looks like.
Yes.
So now to be able to follow them on Facebook and social media, Instagram, Twitter, we are Bill Wendy Show on Instagram. We have Twitter.
Do you actively engage and post?
Jasmine does. Jasmine's hard at work doing all the social media. But I think there's...
I am. I do it all the time.
What's our Twitter handle?
Our Twitter handle is Bill Wendy Show.
Okay. And Bill Wendy Show on Instagram and
Facebook too.
Okay. That's how you find us. And you're all over social media. But
at Frank Fontana, yeah.
Doesn't that give you a bigger way to connect with the listeners? I like about it.
It definitely does. It shows a different side of it. It also is a labor of love. Like, once you start doing content, you can't stop.
Oh, I've stopped.
Oh, see that? So you drive the expectation up of the consumer, of the social, you know, content consumer. And then you're like at that level where like there's an expectation to output content constantly, which is great because that's the other side of my business. But to do it personally for my own brand and my own celebrity,
it's a lot of work.
It's a grind. It's never stopping.
We applaud Jasmine because she is very good keeping our show social media going. I looked at Bill Left's Facebook page the other day, and he hasn't posted anything in a long
1972.
Time. 1972. That's right.
Right when they started AOL.
But social media has changed so much. There's just too much fighting for me. I know everybody whined about taking pictures of your food and your dog. I have a new puppy, Kona, so I'm putting more pictures up of him.
And I love those, yeah.
Because I need an escape from what's going on in the real world. I mean, if you want to find it, you can watch C-SPAN and CNN and Fox and MSN, whatever you want to do. But I like an escape from it a little bit.
I agree with you. I mean, but on the flip side, it's made people like Kylie Jenner a billionaire. You know, her presence.
Listen to what you just said. Yeah. I mean, really, yeah. Does she deserve to be a millionaire?
Billionaire. Does she do billionaire? She's going to be on the Forbes top billionaire for the youngest entrepreneur. So does she deserve it?
What's she on there for? Does she, they have, what do they have?
Yeah, there's a little story we got here.
Can we take a break and come back and talk about it?
Let's do that.
See, again, it's like I don't like to talk politics, and I kind of don't like to talk Kardashians. But this is a Jenner, so I guess it's a little different, right?
Yeah.
All right, Frank Fontana is in for Bill Leff, and I am Wendy Snyder, and it's 720 WGN. That's a food I could live without.
Mm. Yes, me too.
I'm not a big donut lover.
No. A lot of calories.
Too sweet.
Do
people want to slap me for saying that? But
I'm
they're
sure.
Too sweet.
My kids don't have a big sweet tooth, but they like a donut occasionally. I'm so happy they're not like excessive sweet eaters.
Yeah.
Which is good, because I've never been.
I've not been either.
Yeah. Although I do like a little ice cream after my dinner. Just a little bit. It's a family thing.
A little Spumoni?
A little Spumoni.
I don't even like Spumoni. That is a bad flavor.
Yeah. Spumoni's the three, right? It's the strawberry.
There's chocolate in there. That's kind of what ruins it.
Pistachio or something
like that. It's something like that. I'm not a fan.
Gelato?
I can live without ice cream, too.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your go-to?
Baked goods.
Baked goods.
Breads? I like pie.
Pies. Apple pie.
I like strawberry pie.
Strawberry
pie. That's really like my only favorite thing in the world.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie is pretty good too. All right, we were talking about social media, and in this day and age, all you need is a computer and a Facebook account and YouTube to become famous, pretty much.
And a platform and a message.
Yeah.
You know?
What's Kylie Jenner's message? Could you tell me that?
Buy my stuff. I'm a Kardashian.
What does she have?
Well, she was just put on the cover of Forbes at 21, becoming the youngest. Well, their title was youngest self-made billionaire.
Oh, my God. This
billionaire.
Makes me sick.
Right. And the reason is she, you know, outside of her Kardashian reality fame, she has a cosmetic company. And it's basically brought in nearly $800 million since 2015. And Jenner owns 100% of it.
My God, how did she manage to get 100% of that?
Smart business management. Her mom is probably.
Yeah, it's not
everybody
her.
Could talk crap about the Jenner Kardashian clan. And I'm not. By any means, it's oversaturated. It's done. I'm not a fan of Kim Kardashian. But I did have an opportunity to meet Bruce Jenner before he was Caitlyn Jenner at the Today Show. We were in the green room together before we were about to go on. And I took the opportunity to introduce myself, say hi, chit-chat a little bit. And I said, let me ask you, Bruce, what's the real... Like, you know, everyone bashes these girls. Like, And before I can even finish, he goes, Frank, let me tell you, these are some of the hardest working girls you will ever meet. He's like, people can say whatever they want, but they don't see the grind behind building the Kardashian fame and platform.
Yeah, but can I just interrupt you? Because part of that grind is going to social hotspots in LA to be seen.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
They got a machine.
Okay, but some people work very hard and work. They are socializing. That's their hard work.
Right. But there, you know, there's two forms of social today. There's socializing, and then there's the social aspect of everything being one giant advertisement. And their world consists of one giant advertisement. So they leveraged their fame with social platforms, their following. I have nothing but, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, the utmost respect for somebody who could generate, regardless of their position. Yes, the article claims that they come from, you know, they were born into a $1 million family. Yes, definitely makes it easier, for sure.
Yeah, you can hire somebody to help you run your business.
All
they're not
long.
Doing it. Kylie Jenner is not sitting there at board meetings going, here's what I think we should do. She might have an input, but
sure.
She's got to be getting ideas from someone who knows what
definitely,
they're doing.
Definitely. I mean, without a doubt, they have teams of business people that work for them, PR companies, people who do the social posting for them. But it starts with them. You know, like it's like, Wendy, if somebody came to you with a huge deal like that, are you going to say no? And if they said, well, guess what? You're going to have to do more social media, Wendy. You're going to have to dress up every day and put on different outfits.
Then forget it.
$1 billion.
Well, then I could afford it. Then,
exactly,
all right.
Exactly.
Because, see, that's the thing, Frank, too. You know, dressing up, looking good every minute of the day. You know, if I made that much money, I would have stylists. I would have someone taking me to work.
Sure.
What do they do on their own for themselves?
I don't think much. But, you know, who knows?
I'd like to see these Kardashians, if all the money ran out, what would happen to them?
Oh, it's like when women wear Lululemon pants and they tuck.
Why?
Because you tuck it all in, you make it look really good, but then when you take it out, it drops 4 inches.
Behind,
you know,
the
like
curtain.
Behind the curtain, exactly.
Behind
I think
the Spanx
a lot of
curtain.
If you really look at pictures of Kim Kardashian's butt,
I don't really like to, quite honestly.
But if you did, if you just happened to scroll across any internet platform,
butt in clothing or naked butt,
any butt with a Kim Kardashian, it's a massive butt.
But I mean, she has worked super hard. I mean, people do squats to get their butt upright and firm.
She did not do squats. She did implants, you know, or something else. Or it's just genetically big. My point being is, it's not the prettiest butt I've ever seen.
To you. Other people like that. She loves it. Kanye loves it.
I don't know about that. I think Kanye's under contract. I think that's what that is. And that's the other side of this. Are they great people? Do they make great choices? Look at their love lives. I believe that for every success, there's a certain amount of sacrifice.
Yep.
And I think they don't make good personal choices when it comes to their love life. And that's a flaw. How much of the flaws we don't see and how much of stuff gets buried? You know, let's not forget that this is all built on the back of Kim Kardashian's sex tape.
I know.
Period.
Which that really frustrates me.
It's a big thing. I mean,
like,
people,
why didn't I think of that sooner?
I mean, one of the posts that come from this article on Twitter from Colin Duty. Yes, Kylie Jenner, self-made rich woman. How could you not love her backstory? Being born to a lower class family, working menial jobs to make ends meet, finally getting her big break when her sister made a sex tape that turned into a reality show. You go, girl. That's what people are saying. People are not happy about this Forbes cover.
Yeah, but I want to know why Tommy Lee from Motley Crue is not more successful, because he had quite a tape out there, too, driving the boat. And
question.
Pamela Anderson.
I think it's look how young Kylie Jenner is. You know, and I think
what's her sister doing?
The model?
Kylie and what's the sister's name? Kylie and
Jasmine, you know what it is. Kylie
Kendall.
And Kendall. Yeah,
is Kendall not as successful?
I think she's highly successful. I think she's trying to stay out of the crap.
Really?
Yeah, I think from what I've read, and Jasmine, you're probably more in tune with this, but am I? Can you fact check?
Sadly.
I used to watch the Kardashian show. Shame. I'm really ashamed.
I've seen it a couple of times. I mean,
she's a really good fashion model from what I know, and she makes millions of dollars doing like endorsement deals and stuff.
But I just read she came out with something about depression. You know, like that's what I'm saying. Like, I think all the money in the world, all the fame in the world isn't going to buy you out of your demons.
No, you know? Absolutely not.
And I do think
it helps pay the bills, but that's it.
Right. And I think these people have a lot of that in their closet.
So 20 years down the road, what do you think happens with all the Kardashians? Happily married, living happily ever after? Because I don't.
I mean, listen, Wendy, if you're 18 years old and your dad comes to you dressed like a woman, and no disrespect if that's who you are and what you do, but just think about that. How do you personally deal with that for the rest of your life and your grandchildren? You know, like, it's just a different conversation, you know, and I think that's a huge thing. And they've had so many things. Their father died, young. So there's that trade-off for success that I think happens. And like, you read those stories all the time. So I don't know in 20, 10 years what's going to happen. What about 21 days?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And Kendall Jenner, if she's out there talking about depression and making it okay to talk about, then I respect the heck out of her. Yeah. Because, again, mental health issues, to this day, we all say, you know, heroin's an epidemic and mental health issues an epidemic. And yet still people are ashamed to admit, yeah, it runs in my family, yeah, or, hey, we need some help. We got to get rid of that stigma.
Right.
So if Kendall's doing something like that, yeah, I support her.
Yeah, I think she's the less flashiest. I like Courtney, the mom. She has like four kids. I like her the most out of the Kardashians. What am I talking about?
I know. Are you
talking about something else? I don't know what we're talking about here.
Actually, we're going to take a break. We're going to do some news. I love Steve Carell. I just adore him. To this day, you know, a nice little nightcap is to watch some episodes of The Office on TV. I just adore him. And I saw this movie recommended by my 15-year-old son, Dylan. I watched it last night, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. Steve Carell is in it with Keira Knightley, who I wish Bill was here because that is his wish list.
She's okay.
Yeah, she's pretty adorable in this movie. And, we'll discuss it after the news. Thank you, Domati. A little Elvis Costello waiting for the end of the world. By the way, Elvis Costello has canceled his tour dates to recover from cancer surgery. He's canceled the remaining 6 dates of his European tour to recover from surgery to treat what the musician calls, quote, a small but very aggressive cancerous malignancy. So we wish him the best. Frank Fontana's in for Bill Left today. I'm Wendy Snyder. And last night I watched this movie with Steve Carell. There's not much going on in the summer to view.
Right.
And Big Brother, I love Big Brother. I'll just come right out and say it. And
I don't. I'll come out and say it.
That's fine. But there's this movie, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, that was recommended to me by my 15-year-old.
Never heard of it before.
I never did either. So Michael, my 19-year-old, and I watched it last night. Steve Carell, love him. Patton Oswalt's in it because he's in everything lately.
Yes.
And Keira Knightley. And basically, the gist of this movie, and I don't want to give away the ending because it's really cute. It's cute, and when it was over, I was like, that was cute.
Did it make you think?
It did make me think because what's happening in this movie is there's a giant asteroid that is being hurled towards the Earth, and the world as you know it is going to be disintegrated. And I think there was a 21-day heads up. And then they kind of knock it down. So now 14 days before the end of the world. And they show a newscaster on television giving like just complete, like, here's what we know right now. So gather, you know, your things. And it's really scary.
Yeah.
So Michael and I started talking and he goes, "What if you knew that the world was ending, what would you do?" And I said, "God, I'd if you knew, like, if in 14 days, and it's not just you because you have a cancer sentence
the world,
or something,
yes,
everybody's going down together.
Yeah.
What is the first thing you would do? I couldn't even come up with an answer other than going to Joe Stone Crab and having
you
giant.
You wouldn't, like, take a moment and just cry for a second?
Well, I probably would, but if you have 14 days, I mean, there's a good way of looking at it. Like, go do all the things you love.
Yes.
And be around the people you love.
Yes.
But they showed some people, like, looting and stealing, and then you're thinking, what good is money going to do you if the whole world implodes or explodes in 21 days?
Well, all right, so there's so many layers to that.
I know.
You're like, you know, all right, so this commerce stop. Like, you know, if you're looting and you're going to go take that money, you're going to go to your, you know, whatever, the corner nightclub and just go crazy and throw the biggest party in the world. I don't know. I mean, is that something you do? If the, who cares at that point? There's no law. There's no nothing. So I get, like, if you never experienced, like, a 70-inch screen TV, so for the last 7 days, you're going to be watching your favorite show on a giant TV. I don't know. I mean, for me, what would I do in the last... I mean, yeah. I mean, instantly, I think...
Isn't it hard to come up with something,
though? It
really
is, because there's what you would do with the people you love, and there's what you personally would want to fulfill in 21 days outside of everybody else, because, you know, like, I would want to be with my family, my children and stuff. I mean, my first inclination is go... get in a car, go to the shore, you know, drive to paradise and spend the last days in paradise with your family and loved ones and just, you know, live that simple life. I don't know.
I think like the airplanes, like a last plane out. I don't remember the whole gist of it, and that's not important. But I do know that Steve Carell was an insurance agent, and they showed him going to work every day. And would you go to work? I would, because
we're
on the radio,
and
I feel like this would be a perfect opportunity to open up the phone lines, 312-981-7200, and just talk, because we'd all be in this together. This is something we could all relate to.
Yeah. Would you do anything like enemies? Would you go seek revenge before it's too late?
I'll tell you right now, I wish Bill was here, because, and he'll be back tomorrow, I may ask him this, he's got a laundry list of people that he would like to tell off.
Yeah. I wonder if there'd be a little bit of that.
I got no one that I'd say anything to.
Say some peace to some people that deserve it.
Yeah, but then you go into, you know, wherever your place may be. Mine's going to be heaven.
Yeah.
But you may not believe in that. I don't want to go there with a negative attitude. I don't want to go there going, well, I told him or her.
Sure.
I would just, I got nothing. I got to come up with something. I mean, for Y2K, I got the bottled water. That's not going to help me if the world's going to end.
And the computers become irrelevant. Everything becomes irrelevant.
Well, you'll be gone. Everybody at the same time.
So what matters most at that point? Love.
Your family. Yes, love.
You know, like your whatever memories you have at the end of life is going to be all you have. Money is going to mean nothing. Things mean nothing.
It was just very deep last night. And Steve Carell... came upon a dog at some point in the movie, and Michael and I were more concerned with, where's the dog? What's the dog going to do? Why is the dog not in this scene?
You know, that's crazy. I think of this. I think my children are so young, right? They're 4 and 6. I might take, if I look at it in generations, what they would miss not growing up. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
What can I take them to do that they will miss and they've never experienced?
That's a great thought.
Like, would I take them for shots of tequila before it's too late?
They did have a party where they were letting kids drink. It's like, here, have a drink. And the kids are like, I don't want to drink. And it's like, this is the only time you're going to have to drink.
Right. Or whatever experience it is that they've never experienced.
I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't?
They don't want to do that. That doesn't interest them.
Not drink. But I don't know. I'm thinking fun stuff. Like, what fun stuff would they miss? Dating, proms,
everything.
So it's like, I don't know, 21 days. I want to hear from people. What do people have to say?
We're going to find out. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. We're going to take a break. I don't highly recommend this, but it was a cute movie. If there's nothing good in your Netflix queue, look for Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. Steve Carell is just adorable in it. And Keira Knightley is easy on the eyes as well. And there are some funny moments and there are some interesting moments.
Were they married in the movie?
No. They were lived in the same apartment building, but maybe they fell a little bit in love. You can watch the whole movie and find out. But it's just, we really started thinking, like, I almost got depressed after we watched this movie because Michael's like, Mom, what would you do? I don't know, Michael. That's a big, what
that
would you
a
do?
Big question. I'm getting depressed right now.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. You know, North Korea's in the news. So I don't know. Maybe we should start thinking about this a little bit. I don't
Kinda.
Know.
Kind of. I'd love to hear what people have to say.
312-981-7200. It's Frank Fontana, who is in for Bill Leff, and I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. All right, I got a little existential today. I'm in with Frank Fontana and for Bill.
Is it me? I'm sorry.
It kind of might be you.
Yeah, that's just my vibe. I like to get deep, Wendy.
I know you do. So Frank Fontana's in for Bill. I'm Wendy Snyder, and I saw this movie, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, last night. And my son Michael and I were pondering what we would do if we had like a 21-day notice. And, you know, listen, I am so sorry if you have a terminal illness, because people do get this news every day. And that's a bad battle you have to deal with a lot of times by yourself, but this is everybody. There's like no one's going to be left. So yeah. What would you do?
I don't know. I've been thinking about this during the break.
Me too. I have an idea.
There's a couple scenarios. Like if you were single, what would you do versus married with kids? And I think, you know, I kind of left off saying, you know, I would want my kids to experience what I did, or, you know, like have something in their life. Or is it you just sitting there recalling every great memory that you can leave them with, you know?
But think about how sad that would be, because during the commercial break, I thought, you know, we'll pull up all the old family movies, yeah. Make the kids watch our wedding video, yeah. Just so we could take in everything that we've experienced thus far in life. But then it would turn into a big pity party, wouldn't
it? Crying, yeah. I guess for a day and then move on. And then would you jump in like a Airstream and travel and go to the places you've never seen and take everything in a day?
Well, you may not be able to because Sarah has a very good point. Hey, Sarah, thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. I'm not trying to depress everyone. I just, you know, just a thing.
No, I'm not depressed, but just hypothetically speaking, I don't think anybody would go to work, so everything would just be chaos.
Yeah.
That's true. They did show some businesses boarded up because really, what's the point?
Right. And then I think people would just be trying to get food and your local Jewel wouldn't be open. So everybody probably would be looting to the point of like, I would kind of just huddle down with my family and try to make some nice meals and do what you could do, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be airplanes taking anybody to paradise or anything. And how would you get gas? And
yeah. So what would be the one big thing, Sarah, that you would want to take away before the end of the 21 days?
That I would want to take away?
Like, what would be the last thing? Like, you're like, all right, I'm at peace at this moment because in 21 days we've...
I don't think there's any being at peace for this.
Yeah.
Well, I just hope I was stacked up on alcohol.
Good point. I didn't even think of that.
Hey, maybe, Sarah, you and I should stack up on alcohol now just in case this happens.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Alcohol doesn't expire typically, at least not for a while. All right,
I love your show, Wendy. I listen to you guys every day. Me and my best friend both do. We're both mobile dog groomers.
Oh, mobile dog groomers.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you brighten up our days because we're in 10 boxes by ourselves.
Oh, well, cool. Glad we can help, Sarah.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
What's the name of your business?
Oggy Doggies Mobile Grooming.
Oggy Doggies Mobile Grooming. They come to your house? You come to people's houses and do it?
Yep, I got a little trailer and do everything right inside the trailer. That's pretty cool.
Wendy's eyes are lighting up.
What?
My Kona, I have a puppy. He needs a bath. So, you know, Oggy Doggies.
What kind of dog is Kona?
We think he's a part Border Collie and Lab.
Oh, well, that's what my business is actually named after. My dog was a Border Collie Lab named Oggy.
Oh. All right. Well, if you need mobile dog washing, will you wash Frank if he calls you?
Please. I need a good scrub.
Canines only.
Okay. Well, Sarah, have a good one, and hopefully we have a long life ahead of us.
All right. Thanks. Hope to meet you someday.
Awesome. And Frank, listener Frank, is on the line. What are your thoughts on this? Seeking a friend for the end of the world, the movie, you have 21 days left. What would you do?
I believe I would go to cemetery because I have a lot of family members and said, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey.
Elizabeth, this is the big one.
Yeah. Wendy, you might be familiar with Queen of Heaven.
Yes, my parents are buried there.
Yeah, I have family that's rested there, and I think there would be a lot of people who would be just going out of control with speeding because there would be no consequence because you'd have to go to court a month later, and if you only have 14 days to live, there'd be a lot of crime, smash and grabs, and people just going crazy. But I would spend at least a couple of days at the cemetery saying, you got to help me. I'm coming up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, that's a good way of looking at it. And I guess I'm more positive because I didn't think people were going to be looting. But I guess it would be total chaos because there would be no repercussions for it.
That's right. It totally wouldn't be. That's why people loot when there's opportunity.
Yeah.
Because they know they're not going to get caught or there's going to be no consequence.
Is it possible that, you know, like, there's so much stress in the world and there's so much, you know, up and down, and whether it's financial or personal, do you think that, because as I think about this more, I almost would get a sense of peace that...
That you don't have to worry about paying your credit card bill,
yeah,
or you don't...
Or whatever your life issue is or your familial issues, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, that's a
like,
good point.
If you really just think about that, it's almost like serene to go, okay, it all doesn't matter.
Okay, Mr. Zen.
I don't know.
Thank God you live in my neighborhood. I'm going to come knocking on your door when this happens.
Yeah. Get some alcohol and hang out.
Listener Frank, thank you very much for calling. Yeah, I just don't, I don't know what the right answer is. And I guess I have bigger faith in the human race that we wouldn't be looting and stealing. And I'm kind of a rule girl, so I always maybe go a little over the speed limit. But I don't think I'd be, you know... going 120.
Yeah. I don't know. I just came and popped in my head. Do you think, you know, if this happened now with our current president and the situation of you know, the hostility in the country, what do you think would happen there if they had 21 days? Do you think people would be out to get and just do something crazy?
Probably. Somebody wants to know if... if you had 21 days left to live, this texter at 224, 21 days of cocaine and hookers.
You know, there's a side of me that thinks of that. I mean, not cocaine, but I mean, like, you know, that side too, where it's personal. It's like, all right, I'm going to go do whatever I want to do. And but you can't when you got kids and family.
No, you can't. Would the convicts be let out of prison? That is a good question.
That is a good question.
I
would say no. I mean, you saw the movie. What did they do? Did any of that unfold?
It didn't come up. The prisons didn't come up. It was a love story, Frank. It's just, this is the what I focus on. I can't enjoy the beautiful moments of the movie. I have to get all wigged out and anxious.
I do think Frank, our caller, was probably spot on that I would imagine that every, you know, institution that held people down forever would probably, somebody out there would get retribution for it.
But see, here's the thing. Like, I honestly, if there was like a giant tornado or a hurricane off of Lake Michigan, which I know can't happen, and we can talk to Tom Skilling about that. But if something happened, I got to be honest with you, and I'm sorry. We're on the 18th floor now. I would be out of here in a hot second.
Sure.
But if there was forewarning, I feel like this is my job to be here.
Yes.
At least for a few hours a day to let people unload and talk and figure it all out.
So, like, when the meteor hit, did the whole world explode? Was there a piece of, like...
I'm not going to be a spoiler.
Was there a piece of the earth that shattered off that, you know, was like Krypton and you could maybe survive on it? Is there possible, like, we could be in a pod? Maybe I'd find, like, that. I'd find a guy that has, the titanium pod that wouldn't ever explode. And then you're floating out in space to recreate the next human species and the whole thing. I don't know. I'm a sci-fi guy.
Yeah, I guess it's possible. So. I don't know if that would work.
It's possible.
All right. Well, on a lighter note, David Hochberg will be after the news. And here's the bad thing. If you knew the world was ending in 21 days, would you bother refinancing? Who cares how high your interest rate is?
Nope. I'm done. Take my house.
It's please.
Yours. Please. Take my wife.
We'll talk to Dean Richards coming up later on today as well. And the stream is back in action. The stream has been on hiatus, the bonus hour. I like to call it Bill Leff Unleashed because he loosens up a little bit on the stream. He's not here today. He'll return tomorrow. But Frank Fontana's with me. I'm Wendy Snyder. And we have news coming up next at 720 WGN.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
Yeah, we all said an excitable boy, and his name is David Hochberg, and he's here with us with Frank Fontana sitting in for Bill, and I'm Wendy Snyder.
Hey, everybody.
Vice President of Mortgage Lending at Pearl Mortgage, P-E-R-L Mortgage. David, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. My first time with Frank.
Yeah,
hi,
good
Frank.
To see you, Dave.
Good to see you. I see your videos all the time.
They're fun.
They're very fun. Very informative.
You guys are both social media butterflies, both of you.
He trumps me, and plus he's better looking. I've got bigger
stop.
Muscles.
You got good content, though. You're all over the place.
Stop
man.
It, Frank.
You are good.
Come
man.
On, Frank. Stop it. What? Louder.
I follow your stuff, man. At pearlmortgage.com, David H., and then Twitter at David Hochberg.
Yep.
I like to see you doing your thing, man.
I do a lot of dance moves.
You do. You're a pretty good dancer.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Especially when you drop it. You know, you drop that booty down.
I drop a lot.
Yeah.
I got a big booty, so when it drops.
All right. Many years ago, I heard you on another radio station. I didn't know you at all, and you were just whipping out these numbers. People would call in and say, here's what I owe. Here's what my interest rate is. What should I do? And you would just sit there and figure it out and say, okay, we could probably save you about $300 a month. And I'm not good with numbers. You know me now. I freak out. I can't even tip the pizza guy. I can't think on my feet like that. Numbers freak me out. Mm-hmm. But I called you, and we have refinanced with you four or five times. I can't even keep it straight. One time we couldn't refinance, and I'm full disclosure here, my credit was crap.
Yeah.
I had lost a job, and, you know, some people lose a job and put their groceries on their credit card. You told me how to turn that around. I did, and I'm a big fan of you and Pearl Mortgage. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, your credit, you know, since you talked about it, was a little challenged. You didn't know where to go. You and Jimmy both lost a job at the same time, which was challenging in this wonderful industry that you selected to be in. And you know that
no, radio. Count on it. Yeah, not. Right.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, both got blown out at the same time, which is tough. You got two kids, a house, you gotta feed your family, you gotta take care of the bills. What do? You whip out the credit cards. And then, you know, both of you became gainfully employed. You start chipping away. You were able to get a short-term loan from a family member that helped you out. It rebuilt things. We enhanced your credit over 100 points in about 6 months. You did everything that I told you to do. And guess what? Everything worked out. It's like a diet, Frank. I tell this all the time, right? If you want to lose weight, put the fork down, you know, get on a spin bike, start working out, and you're okay.
How much have you lost?
I lost 25 pounds.
Good for you.
Good for you.
And my blood pressure's down.
How much did that save you a month?
I haven't gone in for my health insurance checkup. I should go for another check, probably drop my life insurance now.
Hey, Dave, how often do you see people fall into financial paralysis when it comes to this stuff?
I was one of them.
Every day, Frank. That's the greatest question I've been trying to answer for the past 18 years I've been doing this. Because, you don't know what to do
until it
happens to you.
Yeah.
Okay? And you could give advice, and until you both you and your wife or husband lose your job and you have kids and you're like sitting there paralyzed, you're like, now what the hell we do? It's tough to be the helicopter expert to come in and you project what you should do. But the people, when it happens, it just paralyzes them.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to get a psychiatrist or a psychologist to explain to me why people are paralyzed.
Sure.
Because you know that the money's not coming in. You know you have 14 cents in the bank account. There's not going to be a money fairy that's going to fly in and drop 15, 20, 30 grand in your bank account to get you down the road. You see your credit card balances go up 5, 10, 15, 20 grand on the balances. You see the monthly payments continue to go up because you have to make 4% minimum monthly payments typically on a credit card. So you go from $10,000, it's $400 a month. You go to $20,000, it's $800 a month. And then you're like, oh, now what the hell are we going
to
do?
I'm getting agita right now listening to this.
You know, but this is life. I mean, this is, you know, this is America.
To put people at ease, how often do you see this?
Every single day.
So, I mean, if you're going through this, you're not alone.
You're not alone.
But you think you are.
You think you are, and it feels like it. And I know people who are going through it right now, and it's tough, you know.
And can I just, I'm sorry to butt in, but, you know, they always say you're supposed to have 6 months' salary in your savings account. Be honest to me.
Reserve account.
Who has that?
Not a lot of people. Because I will tell you, more people that call, we get about 20 to 25 calls a day. Can't help everybody, and some of the people that call just want a little, you know, checkup, and we're like, hey, you know, you're fine, you're perfectly good.
So do you work like a financial analyst as well? Do you kind of look at the whole picture?
Oh, absolutely. It's not just, you know, it's not just your mortgage. When you come to us here, we've got a guy right now. I put an ad out. If you're in an FHA loan, that you took out an FHA loan after June of 2013 and you put down less than 10%, you're gonna have PMI for the rest of the loan.
Private mortgage insurance.
Thank you. Oh, look at that. Wendy Snyder.
She's been there
before. Future in mortgage industry.
We've
this
had
radio
it.
Thing doesn't work out. Right. So, but people don't know that. And you could thank the FHA, the people at the Federal Housing Administration, for screwing over the households of America, because that's not necessary, but they did it. But a lot of people don't know that. So we sent out a big blast. Hey, if you were in an FHA loan taken out after June of 2013, give us a call, see if we could drop the PMI. One of our clients called. We have him at 3.25% interest rate. Great interest rate. We got it rock bottom. He's paying $240 a month PMI. He hates it. He hates the PMI. Okay, so we try to figure out what we're going to do. We ran his credit. He's got $100,000 of debt on his credit cards and installment loans. He doesn't even, that's not student loans. He's got no kids in college. $100,000 of credit card debt, combined income, $200,000 a year. Okay, so he's got income, but he's in $100,000 worth of debt. Okay,
and how do you get out of it?
Well, here's what you do. So to answer your question, I've been doing this guy's loans, you know, ever since I got in the mortgage business 15, 20, 18 years ago. He's one of my first clients. I said, here's what we got to do. I can't get you out of what you're in now because whatever we do, it's going to cost you a lot more money. I go, there's a product at First Midwest Bank has got a product. It's called an Express Home Improvement Loan. You could borrow up to $25,000 and it costs you about $400 a month. I'm just using round numbers.
Sure.
$25,000 of credit card debt that we're paying off is costing him $1,100. It's costing him about $1,100 a month. So just doing that little piece there, Frank.
Yes.
Paying off the $1,100, paying off the $25 on the credit cards, and replacing them with another $25. Boom! We just freed up almost $600-$700.
Yeah. But people don't know that. And Frank Fontana Design, you move furniture around and things to look better. You honestly move funds around to make it work for you.
It's monetary monopoly. I mean, you know, that's all it is. We're just moving pieces around a monopoly board, right? So I go to the guy, right? I go, hey, Tommy. I go, I can't help you, but you take out this loan. I don't know where rates are going to be in 6 months. Listen, we could be on the verge of a nuclear holocaust any day now, which would be bad for everybody, be great for interest rates, and then we'll refinance everybody.
Sure.
Because, you know, the bonds will crash and we'll just have another refinance boom. I don't want that to happen, but in case it does, hey, at least save that $600 and take that dough and pay off something else.
Makes sense.
And get ahead of it. So. Yeah. So to answer your question, yes, that's what we do. And in a long 6 minute answer, we have to look at it, and we have these tools, we have these resources. We're not making any money by sending them to First Midwest Bank to take out that Express Home Improvement Loan, or sending them to Huntington Bank, who are competitors of mine. But it helps them put themselves in a better position. So hopefully, when rates do drop and we could adjust, and property values go up, and he pays off his debt, we get him in a better position to do something in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to you about that. Also, with the idea of people. I know we got to take a break in a second, but the idea of using home equity to help I'd love to get your opinion on this.
I'd love it. Some people hate it.
I think we got to take a quick break.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take a break. HELOC, that's what I like to call it.
Home equity line of credit.
Yeah. See, I do learn from you sometimes.
That's very good.
He's David Hochberg. How do people reach you?
Very simple. You go to WGN David is one way. We're having a reverse mortgage seminar I like to talk about before I leave with Orient Samuelson. On the 27th of July, you can go to reversedavid.com to get more information there and to register. It's free on the 27th of July with Orient Samuelson out at Del Webb and Huntley, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333. And we'll be back after these messages.
Very good, David. Frank's up for Bill, and I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. I'm Wendy Snyder. Bill Leff will return tomorrow. In his seat today is Frank Fontana, and we're chatting with David Hochberg, Vice President of Mortgage Lending at Pearl Mortgage. You can find him at WGNDavid.com. He has a free reverse mortgage loan seminar coming up, but before we get into that, Frank, you had a home equity line of credit question for him?
Yeah, I just wanted, Dave, get your idea on, or just thoughts on, you know, when you're in a pinch, using your home equity to get you by a few months, when should you kind of pull back and, you know, make some other decisions?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the best time to get a home equity line of credit is when you don't need it, so you have it for when you need it.
Yes.
Most of the people take out line of credits or think about taking out line of credit when there's blood in the streets and chaos is running rampant in their life. Okay.
Yes.
So the time to take, and I've been stressing this for 15 years on the radio, Frank, the best time to take out a line of credit is when everything is perfectly great and everything is wonderful. So if, God forbid, an 07 and 08 happens and you're taking the train home on a Friday and or you're taking the train in on a Friday and you get a notice on Friday going home, and then on Monday, you know, you're taking the train and you still have a job, and all of a sudden you see 20% of the train car not there anymore of people, you start freaking out. Okay.
Right.
So all of that stuff, it's a mental thing. Okay. So the best time to take out a line of credit is when you don't need a line of credit. Why? So when calamity or catastrophe happens, death of a family member, an injury to a family member, loss of a job, decrease in wages. You had a big expense. You had a car accident you weren't expecting. A air conditioner goes out. There's 5 G's. You need a new roof. Boom. There's 20 G's. You got to bring PermaSeal in to do the basement.
This is where he starts getting.
You know, that
lit
could
up.
Be. You got me fired up, Frank.
I just wish you were passionate.
That could be really... between $500 to $15,000, depending upon how bad the thing. So the best time to start reacting and to planning is when you don't need the dough.
Right.
And get it set up. Just walk into your bank. And listen, I could introduce you to a couple of bankers that will take out a line of credit. You need good credit. You need equity in your home.
Sure.
But you got access to it. And then it's there. And it's usually there for about 10 years. And yes, it bounces according to rate fluctuations.
Yeah, mine's gone up considerably.
Here, I'll give you a perfect example. I had a guy who was a trader. Okay. His income goes up. His income goes down. Okay. So when it's really, really good. He's flush with cash. He pays back his line of credit. When times are really, really bad, he's got to dip into it. He doesn't want to tap out all of his cash.
Yeah.
He could tap into his line of credit to get through whatever he needs to get through. Okay. Some people know that, listen, it's camp and college time. Okay. So what's going on right now? I got 3 kids going to camp, right? There goes God knows how many tens of thousands of dollars to overnight camp.
Sure.
And to day camp. You know, I could afford that. There's some people that are getting big bonuses at the end of the year, but, you got to pay for the camp today. So they put it on a credit card or you take it out of line of credit. Guess what? Your line of credit interest rate's a lot less than the credit card.
Sure.
Big time.
So you put on the credit card. It's like running a business. Your house is nothing but a small business.
Sure.
And you know that, hey, the economy's better. You're going to get a big bonus at the end of the year. Boom. You pay down the line of credit and you function fine.
Is there a rule of thumb, Dave, to how much you should leave and not touch? And when you're playing with, say you got a number of 150 in equity in your home, and you got the loan out, and you need to dip into it. Is there a rule of thumb of what's safe to leave?
Yeah, well, you'd want to leave something, but some people listen.
Some people can't
listen, Frank. In all honesty, here the average listener that's listening right now is carrying between $20,000 to $40,000 worth of credit card debt. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank the American consumer out there. We're over $1 trillion in credit card debt right now. So that's phenomenal for the credit card people, right?
Sure.
People are out there spending money because, again, you got kids going to camp. You got to get them ready for school. You're taking summer vacations. God forbid Johnny does a house leak instead of a travel leak. God forbid Sally does a house soccer leak instead of a travel leak. We got to send everybody to Cooperstown. There's another 15, 20 grand to send little Johnny to Cooperstown so we can have his fun in the sun in Cooperstown. We've built this whole thing. And I asked the parents, I'm like, why are you in... I'm not placing judgment. I'm just asking a question. Why are you in sending Johnny in travel baseball that's costing you 10, 15, 20 grand? And not only is Johnny in travel baseball, Johnny's also in travel hockey.
Sure.
Pick one.
Or just put him in a house league. They're in $30,000, $40,000 worth of debt. So
to sustain a lifestyle, basically.
Keeping
up with the Joneses.
And the Joneses are broke, okay? Okay, so here's the problem, okay? Everybody's trying to keep up with flipping Joneses, but the Joneses don't have any money, okay?
Right.
The Joneses are driving the Cadillac, and they should be driving a Suburban, okay?
All right, so that's HELOC issues, but reverse mortgage, as we get up there in age, I'm not old enough yet for a reverse mortgage, but there are some people. You are hooking up with Orion on July 27th. What's going on with that?
Yes, it's very, very, I'm super excited about this. Orion Samuelson has agreed to partner with me to help promote this event. I met with him.
That's
and his
a
wife.
Leap of faith from Orion.
I spent a half hour with Orion and his beautiful wife, Gloria.
Love him.
Out at Jameson Steakhouse, right?
Of course.
And the pork chops are fantastic.
He loves that place.
He loves that place. And it was like having coffee with Elvis. I mean, everybody's
going,
how you doing, Orion? How you doing, Orion? So it was really 30 minutes of content in a two-hour meeting. But long story short, Orion, I explained what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do it. And what we're trying to do is educate the listeners about the benefits of reverse mortgages. Why are we trying to do that? Because a lot of experienced homeowners, I don't like to call them old people, I like to call them experienced homeowners.
It's a nice way of putting it.
Thank you. Are sitting with a ton of equity in their home that they want to leave for their kids. Okay? That's what I get. Okay? I want to leave it for the kids. I'm like, great. Is little Johnny and Sally writing you a check for $1,000 every single month to help cover the expenses? No. I'm like, then screw Johnny and Sally. Dip into the built up equity in your home. So what we're doing is we're having a free seminar. It's in the Drindle Ballroom at Del Webb Huntley. It's free. Once again, if I haven't said it, it's free. All you have to do is go to reversedavid.com. I set up an easy website, reversedavid.com. And I strongly encourage not only the experienced homeowners to show up, I strongly encourage the individuals, the kids of the experienced homeowners that are 35 to 60, because you're tired of writing that check $1,000 a month to take care of mom and dad that are sitting on a $300,000-$400,000 home in their 80s that's paid off. Guess what? Guess what? That 85-year-old parent of yours in that $400,000 house could easily tap into about $250,000 worth of equity.
What, real quick, explain to me the difference between why a reverse mortgage versus just taking equity out of that house.
Why? Because on a reverse mortgage, you don't have to make the mortgage payment if the borrower elects not to make the mortgage payment. The other thing is the reverse mortgage never expires. The home equity line of credit expires after 10 years. Another reason is that a lot of the seniors, a lot of the experienced homeowners don't have the income to qualify for a line of credit, and they would qualify for a home equity conversion mortgage. Okay, which is a reverse mortgage loan. Why? Because the home equity conversion mortgage, which is a reverse mortgage loan, has a cost of living that expands the loan every single year. The home equity line of credit doesn't. Home equity line of credit ends typically in 10 years. I don't know if I already said that.
Yes, you did.
And then in 10 years, you got to do something. And then the experienced homeowner's freaking out even more because now they got a balloon payment on their home equity line of credit instead of a mortgage that continues to grow. Home equity line of credit deserves a payment, needs to make a payment every single month. Home equity conversion mortgage, you could defer that payment and not make that payment if the borrower elects not to. It goes to the back end of your loan. It just gets added to the back end of your loan.
Wow, that's a nice little push.
Now, okay. If you have a home equity line, can you still...
It gets paid off. The home equity conversion mortgage, the reverse mortgage can be the only reverse mortgage on your loan. So here's the deal.
You can't have
both. You can't have both. Here's the deal. It is July 27th. It is a free seminar. Come meet Orient Samuelson. There'll be snacks. Frank, you look like a healthy guy. There'll be healthy snacks.
Please.
I'll have almond milk and Splenda for you out there because it looks like
Truvia. I'm sorry.
Truvia. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult you with the Splenda. I'll have Truvia and purified water and some vitamins.
Where do we go for the information?
It's very simple. It's reversedavid.com. You go to reversedavid.com. It'll take you to a landing page. There's room for 350 people. You can load up the van and bring the entire family if that has questions, because we are not leaving that room until everybody gets their reverse mortgage questions asked and answered to their satisfaction. There is a sign-up box, a text box, in the website where you could enter your question, and I will answer every single question that's there and make it part of the presentation. So please go to reversedavid.com. It's free. Best four-letter word in the English language that starts with an F. But please register or give us a call, 312-751-1333.
That's July 27th from 3 to 5, at Del Webb in Huntley, Illinois.
Which is where Orion lives, I found out.
Great. It's great meeting you, Dave.
It's great meeting you, Frank.
Get your card.
You're better looking in person than you are in your videos.
All right, take your love affair off the air. We have to take a break.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Yes, he's D-E-E-E-E-N, but Frank is not Bill. Bill Leff is off today. Frank Fontana in his chair.
Yeah, did they just say that he doesn't talk about hard porn?
Yeah, but you will sometimes, right, yeah. Dean? Oh, I knew this was going to happen. Well, we do not have Dean.
We have a Dean issue. But we do have, I believe, the
list. Emmy nominations.
Emmy nominations. Jasmine's pulling them up right now. Are you a big Emmy fan? Do you watch it?
Emmy is the television ones?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. I don't watch a lot of award shows anymore because, and I know this is terrible, and listeners usually text in and yell at me and say, that is your job to do it. You know, the internet has made things very easy. You don't have to watch the awards shows because yes. Right after there's a win, it's on social media already.
Oh, minutes, the seconds after.
I know. And then the next morning, there's a whole recap. So
sure.
There's really...
No need to watch.
Kind of.
Well, when it used to be a better show... In my opinion, like where there was a big to do, and I think all
when
these
was it a better show?
Back when,
like, how many years ago would you say?
Oh God, I don't know, like 90s, like when it was more Hollywood. Now I feel like everyone is over these award shows, and they're getting like you know, like either they're jumping the shark and they're trying everything. They've had every great comedian host them. you know, I just feel like the show itself, the production itself, could be better.
I just think we're sick of them. I really do. I think that's what it is.
I mean, it's really this. It's the industry honoring the industry, right? The Emmys.
Yep.
Kind of like the Oscars, and you know, so it's kind of like if you're looking for that pat in the back by your fellow actor.
Yeah, but isn't that the pat you want?
I guess.
If I'm getting accolades, I'd rather get it from my radio brethren and sistren than from someone on the outside, because we're all catty to one another. And I imagine actors would be.
Everybody.
Well, you're a nice guy.
I have no issues with other radio hosts.
I just don't believe that other actors want other actors to do well. They worry about themselves.
Generally speaking, people don't want other people to do well secretly. But I do believe that you know, having the accolades come from the peers, the fan base, I think is probably more important, because those are the people buying tickets and watching shows.
Yeah, I guess you're right with that.
Yeah.
Emmy nominations are in, and I don't know, should we call Dean on the phone? Is Dean not available? Is that what the problem is? Uh-oh.
He's busy. Dean's
guy. Listen, I bet he's at Taste of Chicago.
He probably is, or he's doing a breaking entertainment report, like how Hotel Transylvania is coming out. And I only bring this up because I've seen all of them. I don't know if you've seen Hotel Transylvania 1 or 2.
I don't even know what that is. Oh, I saw the previews for that.
Yeah.
Do I have to see the others to see this sequel?
No, I mean, this one, I've seen the commercials. My kids are huge fans.
It looks good.
I'm a fan. I've watched him. I like Adam Sandler. He plays the voice of Dracula. I think he creates these movies. I think these are his. And it has all his clique with him. So he has David Spade. Like, you'll hear the voices of, you usually see him in the movies.
His buddies,
which I love.
I like that,
and,
too.
And they're all, like, you know, historic horror characters, like Frankenstein.
It cartoon?
It's animated. It's like a Pixar kind of thing. But this one, Dracula, who loses his wife early on in the first movie, Hotel Transylvania 1, has a daughter who marries a human. She's a vampire.
Kind of like the monsters, like Marilyn was the human.
So they then go on, they have a kid and they have a family, but Drac is alone. He never finds him. Poor Dracula. So in Transylvania 3, for anybody who's interested, Drac finds love.
Oh.
But the twist to it, and I don't want to give it all away.
Yeah, don't.
I'm taking from the commercial. So anything I'm saying is from the commercials you can see on TV. He finds this woman who then, what it looks like in the commercials, is out to get him.
That's usually kind of
like
the
real
case.
Because
he's famous and he's rich. She's probably much younger.
Yeah, and in the movies, these famous horror characters, Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, are now famous for the human world. They're able to walk through streets and everyone's like, oh my God, it's Frankenstein. Can I take a selfie?
They're idols now?
They're totally idols, yeah.
All right, that sounds super cute, Frank.
Yeah, that's the one I could report on at least. What do we else?
I've also seen the trailer. We should just do, when Dean is not here, we'll just do trailer reviews.
But have you guys seen some of these Emmy nominations though?
No, I was trying to stall a little bit because I don't know if Dean's coming on.
Well, I don't
us.
Know if you guys are Game of Thrones fans, but you know they rocked it with like 22 nomination bids.
Wow, again, right?
All right, who here is a fan of Game of Thrones?
I've never seen one episode.
Me neither.
Dom's hand with you, man.
I have not seen one. Three out of three.
Yeah.
You guys are missing out.
You love
it? Is it really that good,
Best
Jess?
Show ever.
I guess I've caught like bits and pieces of it. I like that whole dragons and Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing.
I don't like that at all.
But I'm surprised I've never gotten into it. It's just a time thing.
But the weirdest thing is when you jump into a conversation with someone, you catch the tail end of it, and they're talking about incest and all these crazy things. Yeah. Like, what kind of show is this?
Right. I agree.
Dragons.
But back then, I mean, I guess that happens, you know? I mean, they didn't really have the politically correctness rules we have today when dragons were flying around and, you know.
You got to be into that. I could go the rest of my life never seeing another dragon. I'm sorry. I really have.
Have you seen one before?
I guess not. But I've seen it in movies. I mean, I'm not obsessed with dragons.
I have a bearded dragon. It's huge.
Yes, those are kind of cool.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah.
Now, one show I do watch, though, I've seen. Now, this is third in terms of bids. Donald Glover's Atlanta. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. This comedy, kind of a dark comedy. Really good show, but it's got 16 bids right now. So, I mean, they're not far behind Game of Thrones. Now, this show, it follows like this rapper who is a struggling rapper and like a failed drug dealer, and Childish Gambino is his manager. But they just
how do you fail at drug dealing?
You know, it's pretty easy to fail, I find out after watching this show.
I thought you'd say from your prior experience.
No. Right, right. In my time, in my former employment.
Before I was a news broadcaster, yeah.
Yeah, and then I reported on my old life.
That's right, no. Exactly.
No, no, but I mean, he's just bad at a lot of things. And he's one of those guys who just has tough luck at pretty much everything. And so he's famous, but poor. And so he's like walking around and people are trying to take selfies with him, pictures with him, but he still looks like he's struggling.
Sure.
And it's a really good show. It's kind of a dark comedy. And, you know, I'm just Donald Glover. I'm a fan of everything he does.
I liked him as Lando Calrissian in Solo. He was really good.
You know, looking at this list, a couple shows that stand out. Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's back on?
Yes. There was like, geez, I want to say like a 12-year hiatus. Yeah. It may not have been that long, but it came
felt
back
like
with
it.
A vengeance. It was. It was
I
a
love
really
Larry
long
David.
Time.
I mean,
he's so funny and so
humor's
crude.
Great. Reminds me of Bill a little bit.
No way.
His sense of humor, you know?
Sense of humor, but not nicety, because Bill's a nice guy.
Yes.
Larry David is just such a jerk.
Neurotic freak.
I love it.
It's so good.
I was, all right, last week, I'm having like a deja vu, because last week I sat in with Harry Tynowitz and Brian Noonan and
here.
You.
Yeah.
And now this week, Harry Tynowitz, Brian Noonan, and you, and I can't remember which show it was that we were talking about
Stranger
Netflix
Things,
being the new HBO.
Yeah,
was that
yes,
you?
That was me, yeah.
Because they were neck and neck for all the cred, and now it turns out that HBO and Netflix found themselves doing battle of sorts. And Game of Thrones led the pack with 22 nominations, as Domati said. Netflix walked away with a total of 122 nominations.
Good for them.
My good God, that breaks HBO's pattern of being the most nominated network for the past 17 years.
Good for them.
Westworld did well, aside from Game of Thrones. Westworld did well, racked up 21 Emmy nominations.
But Shameless.
That I don't know. And This Is Us. I'm sure a bunch of Emmys
you got me
are...
into that, by the way.
Really? You watch it now?
I did watch it. I watched a bunch of them. I didn't keep up, but we watched my wife and I binge watched them all, and then we got depressed and we stopped.
You got to go back because it perks up.
It does?
Good. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it perks up, but it just shows you that what appears on the outside to be the world's perfect family is not without problems.
You know, our good friend Dr. John Duffy has a great statement on that. Every beautiful door that you drive by has its own issues behind it.
Yeah, but the sick thing about that, parents judge one another, and a lot of people keep those secrets behind that beautiful front door.
Sure.
And I'm the one that wants to say it loud, say it proud, so we can talk about things, and we can... Because the bottom line is you want to feel like you're not alone.
Yes.
And so you mentioned Curb Your Enthusiasm is up.
RuPaul's Drag Race. How about that?
That's been on for many, many years.
Can I just tell you, being in L.A., it is a phenomenon over there. Like, the streets, all the TV screens and the outdoor restaurants, packed. We stayed in, like, West Hollywood when we were walking through Boys Town. I can't tell you the thousands of people that were lined up outside watching that show.
Crazy. Seriously?
Yeah, it's a big thing.
All right, we have Dean Richards now. Hi, Dean. Did you forget us?
No. I've been here the whole time.
Hi, Dean.
Are you believing that at all?
Yeah,
I buy it.
I'll take it. So you heard us struggling to get through the Emmy nominations because they were just announced.
They were.
Netflix has finally bypassed HBO for the first time in
Isn't
17
that
years.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, but Netflix is all I watch now. It seems.
Hey, Dean, I just read something. Maybe you can confirm this. What's up, buddy? It's Frank. it's good that we're talking
Showbiz
on the phone.
Frank
yeah,
with
Showbiz
you.
Frank. They just are they doing like I thought it was like $15 billion in original programming. Is that what I read? Is that correct?
It wouldn't surprise me. It's phenomenal, and I mean, there are no signs of anything stopping at Netflix. I don't know the exact amount. But
sign of the times.
They are just relentless with with their programming. There's no question about it. Game of Thrones was the big winner.
Are you into that, Dean?
Of the most nominations. I've watched a couple of them. I can't really say that I'm like a crazy Game of Thrones head.
Domati, Frank, and myself never watched enough. I haven't watched a minute of it.
No.
Not into the dragons. A
couple dragons.
What do you watch?
I do love...
Are you addicted to anything?
I am addicted to I'm Dying Up Here, which is a Showtime exclusive, and it's produced by Jim Carrey, and it is about the life of stand-up comics in the 70s when they were all starting out in L.A. and the clubs. It you know, you hear that it's I'm Dying Up Here, it's about stand-up comedy. It is a drama. It is, I mean, there are funny moments, but yeah. It is deep, it is good, and I love that show. The finale just happened.
But you're not the first one to tell me how amazing that show is.
I live for that, and I'm also very into The Preacher. I love, Preacher.
Interesting.
My wife's got me into this show, Younger, on TV Land. Have you heard of it, Dean?
I have not.
The concept is this woman who's in the publishing business, gets out of the business, has kids. Fast forward like 10 years later, she looks super young, tries to get back in the publishing world, and she finds that nobody's hiring older people in the business. So she dresses herself down, looks like she's 20, and sneaks her way into a big publishing house. And the whole drama ensues. Well, who's going to find out? She meets a young love, and it's the same writers as Sex and the City. And my wife was a big fan. So
I was a big fan.
She sucked me into it, and I'm watching it.
It's so interesting how television habits are so different.
Yep.
So different.
How completely different now. I mean, you really have to work to find a conventional television network show on these lists right now.
This Is Us, of course.
This Is Us.
Kicked some butt.
Saturday Night Live, they got the second most nominations of any show. 21 nominations, tying with, I think it was Westworld. Wait.
People still watch Saturday Night Live.
You know what? Can we take a quick break while we regroup here?
I have to get my calculator visor on.
Okay.
My accountant's visor.
How will it fit over your cap that says press that you're wearing as well?
It says dope.
All right. He's Dean Richards. He's busy. It's Emmy nominations. They've just been announced. So we'll do a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap this up. Frank Fontana in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Frank Fontana is in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder, and we're chatting about Emmy nominations and movies opening this weekend with Dean Richards. Dean, we don't have a lot of time, so do you want to give us your thoughts on a couple of movies, or do you want to continue with the Emmys?
I got a couple of quickie reviews for you this week. Neither one is super groundbreaking, but they'll probably both do really well. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, as you know now, has a new movie coming out every 2 weeks.
Yeah. You just can't lose that guy.
And
best actor in the world.
His latest is called Skyscraper, which is it's sort of Die Hard meets Towering Inferno.
Is this where he jumps from one building to the other?
Yes.
And open? That's cool.
And who wouldn't jump from one burning building to another?
Isn't
course.
It roughly based on a true story?
That I do not know.
Something about an amputee, because I remember seeing some behind-the-scenes footage. Isn't he an amputee in this movie?
He has lost one leg in this movie, yes.
Yeah. So I think that's the whole...
And Neve Campbell's in it?
Campbell plays his wife.
Her.
She was the surgeon who did the surgery when he lost his leg. He's starting a security company, and he's bidding on the world's tallest building, which is a massive high-rise in Hong Kong. Things go south during all of that, and the building is set on fire. And his goal is to get his wife and kids out of the building at all costs. And that's where all the jumping comes in. It's a pretty thin script. I mean, I wasn't exactly looking for Citizen Kane with this movie, and was not disappointed. The script is pretty silly and shallow. But, it's Dwayne Johnson, and he's extremely charismatic. He's a little more serious in this movie than he normally is. The effects are amazing. I'm terrified of heights. So,
yeah, me too.
I was holding onto the chair. I may have accidentally ripped the arm off of the person sitting next to me or the chair next to me. Because it's pretty vertigo inducing. If you don't do well with heights, you may not do well with this movie. But it's it's nicely made. It's a summer popcorn movie, so I gave it a B-. It is what it is.
And the other movie opening, Hotel Transylvania 3. Before we could locate you, Frank did kind of a
review.
Synopsis and
review?
A review because he's seen all of them with his children
being at that age.
I'm
a fan of Hotel Transylvania.
You saw the previous Hotel Transylvania.
There's two more before this, and I saw them about 100 times each.
Hey.
All right, so Frank seemed to like it.
Saw the new movie?
I did not see the new one.
Okay.
I just seen the commercials and the trailer, and I know the premise.
He explained the premise, so that'll save you some time, but we want to know what you think.
On vacation, on a cruise. Yeah,
It looks good.
Yeah, with the kids' movies...
Uncle Dean.
I'm not looking for... I'm not looking for, you know, story arcs and, you know, things like that. It's a kid's movie. It's entertaining. All the characters, the ghosts and the ghouls that you know from the previous movie, they go on a cruise. The Dracula character that's voiced by Adam Sandler, you know, he's been alone for quite a while and he's looking for some love and romance. And they go on a cruise to find it. There's vampire hunters that wind up going after them. So it's fun and it's funny, and there's a, you know, fair amount of good guy, bad guy excitement with the whole thing. And, you know, it's pleasant enough. The kids will like it. The grown-ups will easily be able to sit through it. I gave that one a Dean's List B.
Nice.
Once again, it's one of these movies where, you know, it's predominantly a kids' audience, kids and their parents. And then the, you know, creepy Uncle Dean shows up, you know, sitting there by himself. It's like, Mommy, who's that guy there by himself? Who's that old man sitting there all alone? It's the creepiest part of my job, really, when I have to go see a kid's movie.
I'm sold, though. I'm going to go see it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it, both of them are completely harmless. I actually like the Transylvania movie a little more than I like the Dwayne the Rock Johnson movie, yeah, the skyscraper
really?
Movie. Well, you know, it's the I you know,
you've seen one, you've seen them all.
It's
the Rock.
Heavy. The Rock is very, very charismatic. It's hard not to like anything that he's in. But I mean, really, somebody's got to start writing better movies for him.
My favorite Dwayne Rock Johnson movie is Get Shorty.
That's a good movie, yeah.
He sang in it. He was playing such an off character.
I don't remember that.
Go watch it again. It was good. He plays this, like, hitman guy, and he's, like, dressed as Elvis, and he's singing. It's great. It's one
All
of
right.
his best performances.
I'll look into that. Dean, thank you so much. You can get back to Taste of Chicago. We know you were having something on a stick.
Giant turkey leg.
Oh, nice. There you go,
yeah,
King
I've got
Richard.
Giant turkey legs in both hands.
You're going to beat somebody with them.
Bring me more food.
Thank you so much. All He's right. Dean Richards, and we are going to take a quick break. The bonus hour is coming your way, and I'm just going to do this now. There's a different phone number for you to call us on the stream, the bonus hour, 312-235-2525. Maybe you should put that in your speed dial, 312-235-2525. Frank and I will do that, and Paul Lisnick is in for Steve Bertrand for the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we'll find out what's coming up next on 720 WGN.